So I don't know how many of you get a chance to read my weekly musings on Friday, but I want to share a part of them and then expand on it. And today I talked about blind spots in our lives. And I want to talk about blind spots, geographical exile, and spiritual psychological exile. Bring that all together and how it connects to us in our world. So I talked about blind spots, first of all, as the way in which the obvious becomes invisible to us, for each one of us in different ways. And we're very familiar with the blind spots of our society because the newspaper brings it to us on a regular occasion. We've all been, I think, following the events in Flint, Michigan, and of the water crisis they are having there. And the truth of the matter, and I've been interested in water for quite some time, is that our entire infrastructure of water pipes in this country, most of it is crumbling. It is ancient and is underground where we cannot see it. It will cost trillions to fix it, and there's no life without water. And yet, because it is such an intractable problem, because it only rises up to the visible moments of crisis occasionally, as we had in West Virginia, as we're having now in Flint, we as a society turn a blind eye to it. It doesn't exist. And in the world of politics all the time we see it, it's very easy because often it looks like it's them and not us, so it's safer to see. But it's also easy to see precisely because it's not our blind spot. It's a collective blind spot, perhaps. In our own lives, we all know those rare moments, hopefully they're not so rare, you may be brighter than I am, where you suddenly realize some fact of your life that's been staring at you repeatedly and you just missed it. You didn't catch it. So that's that notion of blind spot. I want to turn now to a notion of geographical exile, and then spiritual emotional exile. Exile is one of the main themes of the Jewish people. And in our Torah portion, we are in the midst of a pause of exile. Moshe and Yitro, his father-in-law, are there. We're standing at Mount Sinai. We left Egypt. We're not in the land of Canaan. We're at this stopping point of exile, trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. And Moses, who came from the palace of the most powerful nation on earth in his day, a place of tremendous bureaucratic sophistication, doesn't delegate the legal proceedings of his people. And it occurred to me this year for the first time ever that he, of course, did come from that society. He had seen how power and authority were distributed in a complex system. But he forgot. And I think he forgot because he and the people were in exile, physical exile. Everything they knew, everything familiar to them was back in Egypt. And when there's that much change, the obvious sometimes becomes invisible. You're so busy trying to make it through the day. And I can relate to that physical sense of geographic exile because just today, on a very personal level, I'm happy to say that our home in Cleveland finally closed. And it was sold. And we wish the new family as much joy and love and happiness in it as we had and as our kids did in this huge wooded backyard. They will have a lot of fun there, I think. But we've been in geographic exile because part of us has been in Cleveland, tied down. And if you're not a multiple generation Portlander, even if you've been here 10 years or 15 years, you may know the ways in which the old country calls to you and has a claim on you. And that brings us to spiritual or psychological exile. Because I'm talking about a geographical past, in my case, a house in Cleveland, our life there. But all of us have ties to the past. which keep us from being fully in this moment and create those blind spots also, because we're not where we're supposed to be, right here in this time, in this place. And so it is that even in Israel, where our people are once again in our ancient homeland, a lot of the thinkers there speak of ongoing exile, because there's an understanding that geographic exile is only one of the ways in which we can be divorced in some way from our deepest experiences. And that's what, to me, this year, this Torah portion is. As Jethro and Moshe and the Jewish people stand at Mount Sinai, waiting to get a new insight into reality, these Ten Commandments, these ethical approaches to living that will make the invisible visible and that will ground them with their sense of purpose and their mission, which is an ongoing mission of bringing the most ancient truths that have changed the world into the present moment. And that's what we're part of, and that's why we come here. And that's why on the sides of our building we have the world's largest Ten Commandments. Because wherever we are, the geography of Torah accompanies us and guides us in our way. Shabbat Shalom.